Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of January, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later, we'll be joined by Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting and Channel Siege from Windsor, Illinois, to discuss the cash grain market and the situation on the ground across the United States. And then, as we close out our half hour together, I'll take you through the weather forecast for the Midwest and for South America. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may always find our programming online on demand for you to listen to anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The numbers in Chicago finished lower on this Thursday. The March contract for the corn down 3.75 at $3.65.5. A settlement price for the May at $3.70.5, down 4. In July, 3.75 lower. Corn at $3.75.25 in that contract. December, 3.87.5, down 3 cents for the new crop. Soy complex, March beans, 15.25 the loss at $8.67.75. The May at $8.70.5, down 14.75. In July, at $8.76.25, 14.75 lower. November beans at $8.80 even. That's down 14.25 at the end of the day. Bean meal, $5.60 lower at $2.66.90. The bean oil, 18 cents lower at $30.69. Soft red winter wheat finished 4.25 lower at $4.72.25 in the March contract. July down 4 cents at $4.84. And July hard red at $4.85.75, 2.75 lower. Live cattle futures in the February now trading 42.5 cents lower at $135.30, the April at $134.57.5, down 67.5 cents. January feeders for 100 pounds at $161.30, up 37.5, and the March now at $159.50 on their last trade at 42.5 cents lower. Lean hogs February contract $65.40, up 2.5 cents. Some of the outside markets at this hour: energy showing crude oil at $33.41 a barrel. It's $1.10 higher, and ethanol futures at $1.40.5. That's down 1.1 cents. That's $1.40.5. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
The price of a gallon of gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price now at $1.08.6, is 4.1 cents higher for the day at this hour. Heating oil or diesel fuel is 1 cent higher. It's trading at $1.03.6. And the natural gas for the day at $2.19.3 is up 3.6 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 15,975 is up 124 points. The U.S. dollar down 0.404. That's at 98.54. And the gold futures for the day at $1,114.50 per troy ounce, $1.75 lower. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Cloudy skies, a high of 45 degrees and a west-northwest wind at 14 to 16. That'll gust all the way to 26 this afternoon, and then tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 24. Northwest winds at 7 to 13, gusting to 18. On Friday, sunny skies, a high near 40 degrees. That northwest wind will be with us still at 5 to 10. That'll turn to the south in the afternoon and bring us to a partly cloudy sky and a low of just 36 degrees on Friday night. On a south wind at 8 to 18 miles an hour, and that'll turn to the southwest after midnight. Winds gusting then as high as 26. Saturday, partly sunny skies. We'll go all the way to 51 degrees. West-southwest winds at 8 to 13, gusting to 16. And Saturday night, cloudy and 41. Sunday, a 30% chance of rainfall and 53. Monday, mostly cloudy and 47. And Tuesday, showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm or two. It'll be cloudy on Tuesday with a high of 52. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Support comes from Country Financial, now through March hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois. Topics include updates to both the federal crop insurance program and the farm bill, and at most locations, how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information at countrycrop.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. It is the 28th day of January. Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us this afternoon. Dan, thanks for being with us. When we talked this morning, we were going through some of the numbers, in particular for the soybeans, and you had some ideas that this was kind of a pivotal day for the marketplace. I suppose it didn't turn out so well if you were looking for a higher market at any time very soon.
No, technically it really tore up the picture. I mean, yesterday afternoon, the way soybeans had closed above some key moving average, that kind of keyed up the market, at least from a technical point of view, that maybe we were going to break to the upside on soybeans and even corn. But instead, we broke to the downside, and the key catalyst on soybeans was the sale cancellation, soybean sale cancellation from China. So that, I think, is a reflection of what basically the commodity world has been talking about, is the slower economy in China. And it probably is indicating that they are beginning to feel real comfortable with some South American inventory, and they'll probably begin to switch their purchases to South America because they can buy them cheaper out of South America than they can North America.
What was the key support level we happened to go through today, and where do you think we'll head from here?
Well, probably since, you know, for about 2 weeks here, the lead future soybeans have been trading between 870 and basically 890, and we broke under that. Basically, we've broke under a three-and-a-half-week trading range. The next support level, technicians will be looking at somewhere here in the low 860s, so probably about a nickel down. We'll see how much support begins to come in the market, but this is a decisive close under the three key moving averages that's actually been turned sideways over the last 3 weeks, which is the 20, 50, and the 100. And like I said, yesterday we kind of closed above that, so that was kind of a key signal that maybe this thing was going to turn up out of a 17, 18-week cycle low. Instead, we broke to the downside. So, but the bean market should still be, I think, in position here to make kind of like a 17, 18, 19-week cycle low here. So maybe this breakout may not be all that bad if we would begin to find some support here in this 860 level for the March contract.
And you were worried about corn as well, and I don't know how much that had to do with the wheat market, but can you take us through some of those numbers?
Well, if you look at the lead futures corn contract, we've been trading between the 50 and the 100-day moving average for the past couple of weeks. Today's close is right on that 50-day moving average on a lead corn futures basis. When you look at it on a March corn futures basis, we went underneath the 50-day moving average. And my guess is support's going to be, instead of the 960s or 860s, we're going to be looking at like the 360s, low 360s should offer some support to corn futures. But we're going to close out the week. It looks like it could easily be with a reversal to the downside. That would be a signal that maybe this market is getting ready to decline during the month of February and work its way into a March-April low.
Okay, so I have to ask, because we have talked about the dollar so much, we have talked about crude oil so much, and they're both going in the directions that you would have thought might have been supportive to the marketplace. I mean, crude oil finally turned around and has gone up, and the dollar index has started to fall back, now under 99 at this point. Why does this not, has this not worked into the marketplace as a potential supportive to the market and even pushed it potentially higher?
Well, I think it will in the longer run, but in the short run, we have a big crop that we produced in 2015. Farmers have moved a lot of that grain into the marketplace, either with free DP contracts or basis contracts. So the elevators, end users, have not been, they have been able to accumulate inventory from the farmer for basically nothing without having to bid up the price. So the farmers are moving that grain into the marketplace, and therefore you don't really don't have a lot of commercial demand because commercials are able to accumulate inventory without having to bid up on it. And that is kind of what is impacting corn and soybean contracts. Also, farmers aren't as far along sold as they normally are. They've been fairly tight holders, but we are seeing a lot of movement into the pipeline through free DP and basis contracts. So I know that's a marketing strategy, but in a sense, farmers are their worst own enemy when they do that because they basically hand over the inventory of grain to the commercial grain trade, and the commercial grain trade don't need to bid up for it, and they're able to move it all the way through the pipeline into the export market, into the feed market, whatnot. But I do think that now crude oil basically is recovering on ideas that you're going to see the OPEC nations maybe cut back on production somewhat, and the market got terribly oversold with that dip below the $30 level. And the dollar is breaking below some key moving averages and triggered some pretty good sell signals from the technical side. And I think that's a result of the Fed not raising interest rates. A lot of the strength in the dollar, I know, has to be attributed to foreign countries devaluing their currency, but also a lot of the strength in the dollar has been expectations that the Fed would be slowly begin to grind interest rates higher. We've seen one hike. The Fed seems to be gotten cold feet the way the stock market has been tumbling the past several weeks. So now without the idea that if the Fed is not going to raise interest rates, well, then you may begin then to see people sell the dollar because the dollar is not returning any money on investments. So that eventually could be positive to commodities. It's been generally positive to the gold market. While stocks have been tumbling, the gold market has got a beautiful rounded bottom and it's kind of breaking out to the upside. So I do think, you know, gold is the leader here in commodities, and that will eventually spill over into the ags. But at the moment, the ags are burdened with big crops, a lot of supply, and a fairly weak demand picture in agriculture for right now.
Dan, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He is out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. In today's agricultural news, the Obama administration this week lifted more trade and travel restrictions on Cuba, but U.S. credit restrictions on agricultural commodity exports remain. It's still up to Congress to lift the decades-old U.S. embargo of Cuba to enable U.S. banks to extend credit to Cuba for agricultural exports. The administration this week broadened allowable travel and the range of U.S. goods that can be sold to Cuba. But American Farm Bureau's Dave Samuelson says there are limits of what the administration can do.
We really have to lift the embargo. That's something. So that kind of has to wait until Congress acts on this. They'll still have to go through a third country bank or a third country bank subsidiary in Cuba in order to arrange the financing.
Well, bipartisan legislation has been introduced to lift the embargo, yet the bills have gone nowhere. Until the embargo's lifted, Samuelson says U.S. agriculture sales to Cuba will continue to fall short of their potential.
These trade financing restrictions, the lack of use of letters of credit provides an extra burden, allows other countries to come in and give better price to the Cubans. It will restrict. We've seen that, of course, in sales to wheat and rice and probably other commodities where we're just not as competitive because of these trade financing restrictions. So that's why we keep pushing to get the overall embargo lifted and take care of this.
The Treasury Department has already lifted cash in advance restrictions on agriculture sales to Cuba. However, U.S. firms, including those in agriculture, complain they are losing business to competitors because of remaining sanctions. While some agriculture sectors are exempt from the embargo and cash-only financing, Cuba limits the trade by funneling all sales through a state body. Let's come back from the waters just 50 miles to the south. That's how far Cuba is away, to something a little closer to home, but still not quite here in our part of the world. Abengoa, the Spanish renewable energy developer on the verge of insolvency with those plants out in Kansas, is looking to restructure itself. A plan presented the 25th day of January, that would have been this week, to the board establishes the sale of non-core assets, including all the first-generation biofuels ones, that according to the Seville, Spain-based company. The feasibility plan also establishes a company which would have revenues in the next few years of about two-thirds of those of 2014, or $7.76 billion in 2014, so times two-thirds. The company has since been working with auditors and financial advisors. The plan presented to the board Monday does not contain financial restructuring proposals, which will have to be negotiated with creditors. Abengoa said in a regulatory filing on Tuesday, the agreement must be reached before the preliminary bankruptcy protection period finishes. Quick note on the weather. The current El Nino weather pattern could be shifting quickly to the La Nina weather pattern later this year. Senior agriculture meteorologist for MDA Weather Services, Kyle Tapley, told AgWeb this week that weather models now show full-fledged La Nina conditions by the summer months. Recent weather models show El Nino heading towards a rapid decay this spring, with the La Nina weather event quickly following. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, says the chances of La Nina increased to 40% between August and October of this year. La Nina typically brings hotter and drier weather to North America during the summer months. That would mean potential crop development problems for corn, soybeans, and wheat in the United States, and drier conditions for Argentina and Brazil's corn and soybean crops. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's get an update now from the United States Grains Council. It's headed up by Tom Slate. He's been a guest on our Commodity Week program from time to time. You know, given the current market conditions, all U.S. farmers are focusing on demand. And the Grains Council is engaging its network around the globe to find new pockets of interest in U.S. grains products. That's what it's tasked with doing. Tom Slate says his organization will continue to build on the successes of the past and hopes to promote more U.S. exports.
I think the top priority for us right now is making sure that the council is developing demand in any way, shape, or form we can. You know, farmers are looking at that price right now on corn, sorghum, barley, DDGs, and, you know, it's competitive. They hope to see the world market respond, and that's a real top priority for us around the world, to go out there and meet the competition and sell this big crop.
2015 saw the completion of talks regarding the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, which now awaits, of course, approval by member countries. Slate says seeing TPP make it across the finish line is a top priority for the U.S. Grains Council, along with other items in the trade policy arena.
You know, farmers need some demand movement, and that's TPP will help in that. but also trying to follow up on what's going on with that Doha round. You know, they had a ministerial meeting in Nairobi just this last December. You know, there's some kind of perplexing items that kind of come out of that that we want to follow through on. So that's going to be a thing we're going to follow closely. You know, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, no one is predicting a whole lot of progress in that this year being an election year, but there'll still be some background negotiations that we're going to be heavily involved in. But more importantly, I think you look at places, again, where we have those trade agreements in place, they're still making a huge difference, and we want to make sure those agreements are implemented cleanly.
And Tom Slate says the Grains Council did see success in building ethanol exports last year. He's hoping for the same thing again this year.
We've got kind of a short list of markets where we really want to ramp up our activities, places like China, India, Mexico, Peru, Southeast Asia in general. Those areas are going to see a lot more intensive action this year. We have a strong cooperation with Growth Energy and Renewable Fuels Association to work together in this effort, and that's what we're going to be doing. And here, just almost overnight, China has risen as the second biggest ethanol market for U.S. exports. And that was, again, some really good work done by some trade missions, but also working heavily on things like air pollution in China, which is a major concern, and that the ethanol can really help them out and help them out quickly.
That's U.S. Grains Council CEO Tom Slate. You can visit the Grains Council website online to learn more. Check it out. Just search Google for U.S. Grains Council. Let's check the cash grain market now. Matt Bennett is on the line. He's from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, but he's traveling in Chicago today, and he's at the Chicago Board of Trade. You're at the building there? I suspect there's not a lot going on. What's happening at the Board of Trade today?
Well, I just came to visit with Steve Fried a little bit here at ADMIS, and it was a top producer seminar this morning doing the U.S. Farm Report, so just kind of catching up with some people.
Did you get a look at the grains floor, or what used to be the grains floor?
Yeah, very briefly. Not really a whole lot to look at.
kind of a ghost, I suppose, isn't it? All right. So, what do you think of them? What did you hear from Steve, and what do you think about the marketplace today? It's been kind of a rough day in Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think whenever you look at the soybean situation, look at the cancellations, definitely cast a shadow on the market, and it's pretty tough to come back from that. You know, right now, we've kind of been in the doldrums lately, and we really need something to feed the bull every day, and today was completely the opposite. So there's really no secret as to why we were moving lower the way we were.
Is it time to get scared, or is this just a time to pause and wait?
Well, I think the time to get scared was probably a few months ago. it's a frustrating situation for everyone, but I think you know, we just have to remember that we will get an opportunity at some point. I think we'll have rally potential, and you know, a person doesn't want to get to making sales at unprofitable levels, especially on new crop before they even put a seed in the ground, just because they read that maybe someone thinks it's going to move lower. I think we just got to be patient.
How much do we think has moved into the marketplace as price later or on a basis contract?
What was the question there?
How much do we think has moved in to the marketplace on a basis contract or a price later?
There's a pretty good amount of it, but you know, there's still a lot of corn that is basically on the farm or has not been sold. There's a lot of farmer-owned corn, and producers are definitely going to be looking for some sort of a rally opportunity. You know, last week we were rallying. We still got a little bit of a basis push locally, so you know, it tells me that there's not as much movement, or hasn't been as much movement as what maybe we thought there was going to be, especially with a little bit of a rally.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt, for being with us, and good luck there at the Top Producer Conference.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois, Channel Seed. You can see him this weekend on the U.S. Farm Report. They recorded it this morning.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, It's National Blueberry Pancake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, William S. Burroughs was born, an American inventor. Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. Also in 1885, the first locomotive ran from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific on the Panama Railway. In 1945, Swedish ships brought food to starving Netherlands. In 1981, U.S. President Ronald Reagan lifted remaining domestic petroleum price and allocation controls in the U.S., helping to end the 1979 energy crisis and begin the 1980s oil glut. And in 1985, 45 of the world's top recording artists were invited to an all-night recording session at the A&M Studios in Los Angeles. As each of the artists walked through the studio door, they were greeted by a hand-lettered sign put there by Lionel Richie. It simply said, "Check your ego" at the door. The session started at 10 p.m., with producer Quincy Jones conducting. At 8 o'clock the following morning, the project U.S. for Africa was recorded and mixed. The resulting song, We Are the World, featuring Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper, Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Sting, Harry Belafonte, Diane Ross, Paul Simon, and many others, became the top song in the U.S. on April 13th of that very same year. The All-Star Charity event was created to raise money for U.S. for Africa, a nonprofit organization benefiting starving residents of Ethiopia. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast around the planet. We'll start in South America, where they're expecting in Brazil, Mato Grosso in particular, highs this week in the upper 80s on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Today and tomorrow, mid to lower 90s in the lows through that period, upper 60s to low 70s. They will have a bit of rainfall over that time frame. That in Mato Grosso do Sul, to the south, but still a very good growing region for soybeans in Brazil. They'll have an 89-degree top today and tomorrow, dropping back to about 70 degrees overnight. Mid-70s through the weekend and the start of next week, a little rainfall for the next several days, and then Tuesday and Wednesday next week, they'll have sunshine and highs in the mid-90s. The weather in Goiás should be fairly similar, although their temperatures will rise throughout the week, starting today at 80 degrees and move up to about 90 by the time we get to Wednesday of next week. The lows in the mid-60s. They'll have a slight rainfall set today, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then on Sunday, Monday, and into Tuesday, pretty clear skies. In Paraguay, they'll be hot, 96 today, 105 tomorrow, Saturday 97 degrees, Sunday 95, lows in the upper 60s, lower 70s. And then as we turn our attention to Argentina, where corn crop is still coming on, 91, 94 today, really cools down on Saturday, some rainfall, 76 degrees, their lows in the mid to upper 60s throughout the next 7 days, and their highs will remain in that 90-degree range. So that's a quick look at the weather forecast across South America. A bit closer to home, we can expect in Iowa and Illinois and Nebraska something in that 37 to 44 degree top over the next several days, maybe topping out around 58 by the time we get to next week in the central part of Illinois. A little rainfall Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, at least a chance of that. Otherwise, clear skies for the next several days. And that's a look at the weather forecast. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Please do visit our website. The address there is willag.org. It's willag.org. Hey, the meeting season's now in full swing, and if you'd like us to come out and help you out with an event, we're certainly glad to do that and bring our panel of analysts with us. You can call me at 217-333 9697 or email me at tgleason@illinois. On the schedule so far, and you can see these online in the calendars tab at willag.org, are a panel discussion in Casey. This is part of a larger day that's sponsored by University of Illinois Extension and the Clark County Farm Bureau. Matt Bennett and Wayne Nelson, Sherm Newland will all be down in Casey on the 18th day of March. In February, on the 25th, I'll be in Peoria at the Illinois Soybean Summit, emceeing that day. Hope to see you there. I'll also emcee the Soybean Summit in Rockford, Illinois. That's on March the 11th. Oh, and the All Day Ag Outlook. That's on Tuesday, March 8th. Put it on your calendar right now. Check out our calendar of events. If you'd like to add to that, you can give me a call right now, 217-333-9697. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.